bold as lions. That is the topic of my sermonette today. Proverbs 28 and verse 1 says this: "The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as lion." So what is it about the wicked that makes them feel like fleeing? Fleeing when there is nothing even chasing them. And what is it about righteousness that should make us bold as lions? Both of these questions can be answered from both our own experiences, but they can also be answered from biblical examples. Now, the first answer of the wicked is a bad conscience. Now, when we see a police car in our headlights or anywhere around us, is our response one of confidence and peace? Or is it one of fear and avoidance? You know, maybe he has no intention of even turning his lights and coming after us. Speaking of, what about when we are in a conversation with somebody? You know, do we automatically start defending ourselves in conversation before anybody even starts to criticize us? You know, whatever situation we are facing, we have to be careful. People flee because, even when they're not being pursued, because they have a bad conscience. Guilt is the parent of fear. You know, our conscience creates that pursuer even when it is not there. But this is a process. It doesn't happen instantly. It takes time. You know, Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 11 that because a crime is not punished quickly, then the heart is filled with even more evil. The ESV translation states that the heart of man, or the heart of the children of man, is set to do evil. If you will turn to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1 and 2, we see that this also warns of this process. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1: "But the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron." Not necessarily people who we want to become like. Which is why we read about dealing with sin in our lives speedily, getting rid of it as quickly as possible, so that it doesn't have time to grow, and it doesn't have time to sear us, to make us blasé to sin. But now the righteous. In Psalms 32 and verse 1 and 2, David says, "How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man against whom the Lord does not impute iniquity." And then at the end of this psalm, David tells us what sort of people whose sins are forgiven, whose transgressions are not counted. In verses 10 and 11, he says, "He who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." So the righteous ones, then, are people who trust in the Lord. The ones who have faith, who bank their very hope on the mercy and the power and the wisdom of God. Now, these are the ones to whom God does not impute iniquity and whose sins are forgiven. Now, these people's righteousness is not the righteousness of their own, but it's the imputed righteousness of God. And because of this, they can be free from fear. As it says in Hebrews 10 and verse 22, their conscience are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. In 1 John 3 and verse 21, turn there. First John 3 and verse 21 says, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God." Now these are people who then can be truly bold, bold like lions. But is it enough to just have this boldness that righteousness brings on? Now, if we are truly righteous, our boldness will grow because it is God who is growing it. So what can boldness do for us? Why is it that the righteous are bold? Let's turn to Philippians 1, verse 27 through 29. Philippians 1 and verse 27, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God." Verse 29, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." Being bold then means for us to be living in a worthy manner, in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, what happened to the early church when they did this? What was the legacy that they left behind? Jump over to Hebrews 10, verse 32. Hebrews 10 and beginning of verse 32. "But recall the former days in which, after you were eliminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so related or treated. And for you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." Now, this is an incredible legacy. It says they were plundered, they were mistreated, the downtrodden of the world. And yet they continued to stand strong for the faith. Paul also was treated like this. If you turn to Ephesians 6 and verse 19, Ephesians 6 and verse 19, he says, "Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should." So Paul's focus was on preaching the news about the kingdom of God. But just as was mentioned in our last scripture in Hebrews, it wasn't under pleasant circumstances that they had to stand resolute. So, how do we apply this? Have we ever had a time where we had to stop and worry about what to say? Maybe we were in a trial where we were trying to keep God's law, trying to work out what was going on. Maybe we were facing a family member, like being invited out on an outing while it's the Sabbath. Or maybe we've been in front of a judge having to explain why we can't serve on a jury or become a member of the military. What about when you're asked about your faith? What do we do when we are challenged by people in this world? As we previously saw, Paul asked the brethren for prayers. Prayers to know what to say. He used the words in the Bible, the words of God, to explain things, and he had confidence in them. So, boldness about God's word also implies something for us. It implies that we must understand how to use the word of God. Being able to exhort and to teach others. Giving an answer for that which we believe. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 states this. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience." You know, some translations say of this verse that we should be able to give a defense or a hope or a reason. And we are reminded in the Bible that the Word of God is our only defensive weapon. Now, through his correct understanding of the words in the Bible, Christ was able to accurately refute Satan when he tried to twist the Bible. This means that Christ had to know the Bible backwards and forwards. It must be something that we come to hold dearly and closely to our hearts, something that we are able to stand for. If you will turn to Acts 18. This will be the last scripture. We notice a interesting person here. Acts 18. In verse 24, it says, "Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Now this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John." Verse 26, "So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside, and they explained to him the way of God more accurately. Verse 27, and when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scripture that Jesus is the Christ. So here's Apollos. He was teaching. And yet when he was taught by Aquila and Priscilla, he gained a fuller understanding. And it says that he did much good through his boldness. He helped many people in the church at that time through his boldness. Brethren, our boldness comes from God, from knowing that we are helping to hasten the return of Jesus Christ, from knowing that we are doing everything in our powers, prayers, helping the church, tithes and offerings, to help spread the word of God in whatever form it takes. It comes from knowing that our opportunity is now. So let's be righteous and bold as lions.